ஓம் சாந்தி. குட் மார்னிங். ஐ ஹோப் யூ ஆர் ஆல் ஃபைன் அண்ட் வெல் டுடே. அண்ட் கேன் வி ஸ்விட்ச் ஆஃப் தட் லைட், த ஸ்டேஜ் லைட்? கேன் வி ஸ்விட்ச் ஆஃப் த ஸ்டேஜ் லைட்? ஸோ ஓகே. அண்ட் ஐ ஹோப் யூ என்ஜாய் ஆல் த சன்ஷைன் இன் மவுண்ட் அபு. Because I read in the newspaper that in Europe it's the darkest winter on record, and many people are sick or depressed. So I hope you all enjoy the sun and the beauty of Mount Abu. I have a question. Who is the first timer here? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Wonderful. Welcome, special welcome. And you know, in cinema you pay for the front seats, or in concerts when there's a good rock concert, you know, the front seats are the most costly one, you know. But in Brahma Kumaris it's opposite, you know. So many people, they are sitting there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 rows behind, you know. I without spectacles I can't even see your face. So if you like, all these senior brother front seats are still free. And if you sit there, you will become yourself a senior brother. Isn't that nice? No? That's a promise. It's a promise from me. If you sit in the front row, you become a first. No? Wonderful. So, yeah, it's actually quite easy. Baba says it takes long time to become perfect, and then he says it's a question of 1 second. So you just, in 1 second you come to the front and you become perfect. So, today's topic is the creativity in yoga and the ultimate tool. So, Pratibha has said, I will not venture into the environment. That's not entirely right. I'll actually only talk about environment and solar. No, that's not right either. I will talk a bit about yoga, and I've done a bit of a research. So the first part is about yoga, also in the Indian context, because it's quite interesting. Because Baba comes in India, and 99% of the BKs are Indian. And the Murlis are quite often actually relating to topics in India. And it's quite interesting that an Indian BK might understand the Murli on an emotional level completely different than a Westerner. And we're not even aware about it, because we are coming from a different cultural context. I hope I'm not too fast. Slower. Okay. All right. Slower. All right. So in the first part, I give a bit of an overview of yoga in Indian context, in the traditional, and what it means in Brahma Kumaris. We have some yoga exercise in between. And then I come to science. What is science telling us about yoga? And in the third part, I come to the topic how yoga can become the ultimate tool for self-transformation and for world transformation. I share some science, some Indian bhakti knowledge, some BK knowledge. We have 3 exercises in between, and we have some meditation at the end where we try to practice what we have learned. And I hope it will be entertaining, you enjoy. And I would be very happy also for your feedback. Huh? All right, so we start. Big question is, what is yoga? Yoga is a old Sanskrit word and means actually union or connection. So in Sanskrit, yoga means connection with the supreme or the divine for self-enlightenment. And actually yoga has many, many, many meanings. And if you Google and you put yoga in and you put pictures, you get only Hatha yoga. So in the West, mostly they understand yoga as hatha yoga means exercises. But in the traditional Indian context, yoga is actually a whole worldview. It's a philosophy, it's a discipline, and there are exercises, and it's much, much more deep than what we actually come to know in the West, what yoga means. And the most famous definition of yoga, the ancient definition, is in the Patanjali. Patanjali was a sage, and there's a sutra, Yogas Chitta Vritti Nirodha. I hope I pronounced it reasonable. And it means yoga is the restraint of agitation of thoughts. So this is the ancient 2,500 years old definition of yoga. And from that ancient definition of yoga in India, many different forms of yoga actually have sprung off. And I just want to share some of the different paths of yogas which are there. And as I said, most people in the West think about Hatha yoga. But very famous yoga, very well known, is Karma yoga. We also use this term in the Brahma Kumaris. Karma yoga means the yoga through action. I act, but my consciousness is elevated. My consciousness is connected to the divine, and I'm acting on behalf of the divine. So when we have a shortage in kitchen, you know, chopping vegetables, then comes this announcement in the morning class, are there some souls ready for karma yoga, for yoga through the action? And in Brahma Kumaris, we all say, let us do our activities in the daytime as a karma yogi. Let the divine act through us. And this is a whole branch of traditional yoga in India also. Then, of course, we have bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is a sort of the yoga of devotion. When you go to temples, you will see bhakti yoga, the devotion towards the deities. I was very lucky. I was recently with Daddy Janki in Mysore and in Madurai, and we went into the Meenakshi temple in Madurai, which is very, very, very famous. You know, and Daddy was on the wheelchair, and we were 50 BKs behind Daddy, and we came to the temple, and the temple has an area similar to Gyan Sarovar. So there's a big entrance gate with a tower, and everywhere are deity statues, like in Dilwara temple. But they're all made out of granite, not out of marble. And Daddy came with a wheelchair, you know, zip. And then the temple priest was there, gave Daddy the garland, and zzz, we're going inside, 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 through this corridor, through this hall. And then there was a big waiting queue, you know, similar when you arrive in India and you get your entry stamp. You know, there was a big queue, but they opened the VIP gate, and Daddy with the wheelchair, zzz, and we went right in front of the deity statue. You know, the murti, the deity, the statue, very small. This was Meenakshi. And then Daddy was there for 1 minute and did bhakti. She sort of gave drishti to the deity. The deity gave drishti to Daddy. And Daddy was there 10-15 years ago when she could walk. So this time she was on the wheelchair. This is called bhakti yoga. And there was a huge queue of devotees who queue sometimes for hours just to have a glimpse of 1 second of the deity. And so this bhakti yoga is the yoga of devotion. And you have a relation like mother, father, beloved to the deity. And Baba quite often says also, please have a relation of love, of friend, of father or mother with me. And have a deep relation with me, an emotional relation. And because this creates a direct relation of love. And this is very, very powerful. Because the person whom we love, our thoughts will always go there. So bhakti yoga is probably the main yoga, because so many people in India, they go to the temples and they perform bhakti. Then of course we have hatha yoga. This is what most people practice in the West when they talk about yoga or think, and is the yoga of the physical exercises. You have asanas, means all the different exercises of the bodies, and hatha yoga is very, very good for your body. Who is practicing your hatha yoga? Hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, not so many. I can recommend, I do every morning a mixture of Qigong and Hatha Yoga, and I can really recommend that you do a bit of yoga, especially for those who are a little bit elderly. No? Yeah, because we get elder and the body gets rusty. You know, and in yoga, you stretch all your sinews, you stretch your bones, and you allow the subtle energies to flow much faster through your system. It helps a lot in Raja Yoga. And I think we offer Hatha Yoga here, yoga exercises. Sujata Ben, she's doing here regular. No? Sujata in the morning is doing Hatha Yoga. So please try it and see if it helps you. Then of course we have the classical Raja Yoga. Huh? So Raja Yoga is not an invention of the Brahma Kumaris. Raja Yoga is also mentioned in the scriptures as the royal yoga, as the yoga of the kings. And it is said in Raja Yoga, in the traditional Raja Yoga, that you have an inner kingdom which is very complex, and you wisely rule your inner kingdom with moderation and balance in an integrated way. And the main focus of Raja Yoga is the meditational aspect, not physical exercises. And it's really the yoga means the union with the divine. And it is also said when you practice Raja Yoga, to some extent, it includes all the other yoga forms, which is a very good news for us. So if we're good Raja Yogis, we practice many of the other yogas. Now, coming to the Raja Yoga in the context of the Brahma Kumaris. Of course, one main aspect in Brahma Kumaris is that we have knowledge of God. In the 7 days course, this is also one of the first lessons, who am I and who is God? So we get knowledge of God, the divine, and our yoga has a different quality. Our Raja Yoga, of course, has a totally different quality because God has, so to say, approached us. God is available to us and God is talking to us, and God has explained his form and where he lives. So for us to have union or yoga with the divine or the supreme is easier for most of the other people because we have his address and we know how it looks like. So yoga in Brahma Kumaris is the way to meet Godfather Shiva. It's the way to meet Godfather Shiva. And yoga in Brahma Kumaris plays the major role in transformation. It's the main aspect what we should do. Do yoga, do yoga, do yoga. And Baba says, remember me. Have a deep union with me. And Baba says, we should have 8 hours per day. Who has 8 hours per day yoga? Okay. I have to send an email to Daddy Junkie. No hand was going up. Because it is not so easy. My hand didn't. I didn't put up my hand. I'm very honest, brother. I would have put up my hand if I'm 8 hours, but I'm lucky if I'm 2 hours, you know, then I feel very lucky and very powerful and I think I have a good day. So, we should remember Baba for 8 hours per day, which is already quite tricky because our intellect goes always somewhere else. This is a bit of a problem. So, yoga also purifies the self and makes the soul divine. Through the cycle of time, we lost our purity, our strength, and yoga is able to reverse the process. I will talk a little bit later in detail about this particular point. Then, yoga helps to become angelic and bodiless. Who has experienced his angelic and bodiless form? Hands up. Sometimes. Who's experienced angelic? Okay. Good. Good. More than half. 80%, 70%. Thumbs up. So, and yoga helps to achieve your full potential. You know, Baba sometimes say we're like a battery. And now the battery is empty. And yoga is like charging the battery to the full potential. And you feel very powerful. And every thought which you have, you project it and you make it happen. Yeah? So, then also, in Brahma Kumaris we say a very, very tricky point. Yoga helps you to conquer sleep, to conquer death, and to conquer disease. So, who has conquered sleep already? Hands up. Alright. Who has conquered disease? It means you're not afraid of disease. Okay, a couple of hands are going up. You are very, very brave. I'm still scared when I go to the dentist. You know, I'm going and then I hear this voice of the drill bit. Then I get goose pimples and I'm just scared, you know. It sits very deep. It's childhood memory. It's bad. So, who has conquered death? Anybody who's conquered death? Not afraid of death? Okay, not afraid of death. 1, 2, 3. You are 4. You are our gold medalists. Thumbs up. So, in Brahma Kumaris, that's the theory, we say we conquer sleep, death and disease. In practice, it's quite tricky. Because as long as we have the awareness and the consciousness of the body, if I hurt my body, I feel disturbed because I'm not 100% detached. And I still have some karma which keeps me attached to the body. I will talk a little bit later also about karma, which is quite tricky. And in Raja Yoga, in Brahma Kumaris, we say, you practice Raja Yoga meditation and you accumulate good karma for the next cycle. You know? We are fantastically rich, you know, have a fantastic body and fly incredible good vimans. You know, that's the promise in Brahma Kumaris. Isn't that nice? You know? I mean, that's a nice promise. So, this at least came to my mind when I thought about Raja Yoga in Brahma Kumaris. Now, we have also in the Brahma Kumaris and the Raja Yoga, we have the 8 powers. And the 8 powers are very, very powerful. Actually, we are all superheroes. You know, in Hollywood, they make all these films now about these Marvel comics. So they have all this Superman and Batman and Superwoman. There was a Superwoman, you know, recently was a Superwoman. Very nice film. Very Shakti oriented. And they say that the world was ruled in ancient days by women, which is quite interesting, you know, because in India, the temples, which are built before the 8th century, they are showing Shaktis, female deities, mostly. No male deities, very, very few. And only from the 8th century onwards, male deities took over. And nowadays you find mostly male deities and very few female deities. So, in Raja Yoga we have the 8 powers. And these eight powers are there. They are part of the yoga. They are achievement of the yoga. And you perform yoga, you're supposed, and in practice, you are getting those eight powers. And these eight powers are helping you in every situation. It's like a toolkit. And there's any challenge in your life, you will be able to use these eight powers. Who knows all the eight powers? You know them, no? You learned them in your Raja Yoga course. Okay, only half the hands are going up. This is serious. we will send all the others who are not aware of the eight powers, we will send you to the revised starter course. You know, you start at one. So you see the very nice picture of yoga and of the eight powers. You know, I like this picture very much because it shows the eight powers. Yoga, you have union with God, you have realization about yourself, you get power and you transform. You start changing. And the eight powers are there to help you. And here are the eight powers. It's the power to withdraw. You step back from the world around you, you know? And it helps you a lot in difficult circumstances. The other power is the power to pack up. You bring things to an end and stop wasteful thinking. You know, wasteful thinking is very bad. I sometimes have this wasteful thinking and, you know, it's such a story to bring it to an end and stop it. So the power to pack up, you stop it. Very powerful. Then the power to accommodate. You know, in Brahman life we have all these expectations to ourselves. Then we have this expectation to other BKs. And then we have expectation to outside people or to the world. The world is tamopratan, we know it. And so we have not too much expectations to the outside world. In America they have Donald Trump. And who's from America? Anybody? Okay, yeah, I feel so sorry for you also. In Europe we have Brexit. Some of you are from Russia also, you know, no? You're from Russia, so... Yeah, you have other issues there. So we don't have too many expectations to the world, but we have a lot of expectations to ourselves. No? Who wants to become one of the eight? Hands up. Okay, very good. I also try sometimes. Okay. All right, a couple of you, 10%, that's okay. There are not so many eight out of the eight. I mean, it's just, you see, it's just eight. You know, it's not so many out of 7 billion. Then we have the 108. Who likes to come in the 108? That's, I really like to come. Okay. A little bit more hands, that's good. And, okay, and for all the others, who like to come in the 16,108? Huh? Okay? Yeah. Alright, yeah. So, you know, we have expectations. You know, 16,108 is also quite special. There are only 16,108 out of 7.5 or 8 billion people, which is very, very few people. Uh-huh. So we have expectation to us. But the big problem is, the really big problem in Brahman life is, we have these high expectations to other BKs. Huh? You know, we're in meditation and we just have a good run, very silent, my breathing is very peaceful, you know. Then this BK, I don't know his name, he comes and sits next to me, you know, and he has a plastic bag, you know, and he starts with this plastic bag. I'm sitting there and I think, brother, this is a meditation room and this is meditation time. You should be silent, you know. And why you have this plastic noise? This, you know, he's looking for something, you know. And I get really slightly disturbed, but I'm sitting there and I take this power of accommodation, you know, and I think, Golo, you are a peaceful being. But you know, he's next to me, almost touching me. And then finally, he takes out his mobile phone, you know, and then he opens his mobile phone, and then I hear this beep, 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 doo, doo, brr, brr. You know, he puts it in silent mode. Finally, he puts it in silent mode, you know. I meanwhile lost my stage, you know. And then I look to him and I make like, you know, but this guy is not reacting at all, you know. He takes the mobile phone and puts it back in this plastic bag. And then again this, and then he wraps the plastic bag around the mobile phone, you know. I mean, this was just too much for my power to accommodation. I'm completely gone meanwhile. I became Shankar, you know. And I'm burning, I'm on flame, you know, and I think destruction, you know. You know, so power of a... You are laughing, but expectation to other BKs are quite an issue. You know, when we have a project together, or in the kitchen, or we work, or who's cleaning the dishes, you know, who's sitting in the front seat and who's sitting in the second row, you know, a lot of expectation to other brothers and very, very difficult to accommodate. Here, yoga can help you, you know, to become free. And then, next power is to discriminate. So, what is right and what is wrong? And when you become more advanced in yoga, your power of discrimination is also growing and becoming more subtle. And sometimes you almost feel what is right and what is wrong, very much in the beginning. Sometimes a person comes to you and you just feel it, what is going on. Very interesting, this power. Then the power of judgment, your decision, your choices for yourself and for others, is very, very powerful also. Then the power to face. It's about obstacle. In the facing the obstacle and you're not affected. And you are ready to deal with the challenges of your karma and of others, which is also your karma. Then the power to cooperate. It's quite an issue in Brahma Kumaris nowadays. I travel a bit and you know, we have these retreat places. And nowadays, wherever I come, they tell me, we don't have enough hands, we don't have enough hands, we don't have enough hands. Did you sometimes have this problem? You do a project in Brahma Kumaris and not enough hands to help? You know? And some retreat places, the people who are running the show, they're 75, 80 years old. You know? Here in India, we don't have this problem. We have so many youngsters and so much cooperation. But in the West, sometimes the cooperation is an issue because many of us are getting old, and power of hands and cooperation is not always there. So this is a power to have the attention to see when your help is good and required, and then you do it. And you put aside any other considerations. If you see help is required for Baba's service, I can do it, I have time, then it's a very good idea to do it. Yeah? And then, the power to tolerate. Whatever you see, you react positively, and you're not affected by them. So, now, I've given you a lot of information, and now we are doing one exercise, you know, because this is a workshop and we all should work so we become better. So I like you, this will go for 3 minutes. I like you to select two of the powers which you like most. two of the powers which you like most, which appeal mostly to you, which jump to you, and you like, you say, yes, I like this one's most. These are my most important powers. And then think about how they really help me to go ahead, and how they help me also to get the other six powers. And then you think about what you will do to use them more often. What will I do to use them more often? Where are the situations? And then we share. And maybe three or four people of you who like to share, they can share what is the power, two powers you like most, how they can help you, and what you will do to use them more often. And we have 3 minutes time to think about it. And I put here the eight powers. I hope you can read them. So which power of the two powers help you most? And how they will help you, and what I will do to use them more often. Okay. Is okay the question? All right. So we have 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and we can think and reflect about that. All right. So our question was, not there. Which are the two powers you like most? How can they help you? And what will you do to use them more often? So, anybody of you like to share? Which are the two powers you like most? No, don't feel shy. We're not recording this session. Anybody likes to share? Yes? Oh yeah, come in front and speak loudly, or maybe, oh yeah, here's a microphone.
It's very necessary to talk to oneself. Okay, okay. Okay. You have to pack up the past in meditation, immediately put a full stop to it, and if the future worries are bothering you, then you put the full stop to that as well, because we don't know what the future holds for you. You don't know which forces will be around at that time. So this is where the power to pack up comes useful. Thirdly, pack up the remembrance of the bodily beings. And fourthly, pack up the worry about your own body, which means your body, physical organs, in particular, they bother you at the time of meditation. You wanted this, you should have done this, you should have done that, should have drunk some water, you should have drunk some tea, like this. Your physical organs bother you at that time. So you have to learn how to keep them in control. This is where comes the power to pack up. Useful.
Okay.
That's one. Secondly, power to cooperate.
Power to cooperate.
If we are at all clear about our future and the fruit of your actions, then his power to cooperate is very necessary, because this is the task of Shiva Baba. It's not human task. And more you cooperate, more you will gain. So it's very necessary to remember your future inheritance in order to keep on gaining quickly, which means cooperate wherever, whenever is required by anybody. Om Shanti.
Just put it there. Okay. Yes, thank you very much. The power to withdraw and the power to cooperate. Anybody else? Yes, please come. Come to the front, take the microphone.
Om Shanti. I find the power to withdraw and the power to tolerate very helpful.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how many of you have visited New York City. I live in Manhattan, New York City, USA. And I've been living there for a long time. I'm originally from the Dominican Republic. But I have lived more in New York than I live in Dominican Republic. I came there when I was 20 something. So. But anyway, I find the power to withdraw very helpful for me, especially when I'm on the subways, on the street, and on buses, especially the underground subways. The subways sometimes are very crowded, more than often. And things happen, you know, you see people getting upset, getting excited. So I just withdraw and I sit with Baba. And I say, Baba, all of these souls need help. Send them some really good feeling of love and peace. And when you let back, the fight that is starting to develop disappear and just quiet down. Happens also in the buses sometimes. One time there was an argument. A young teenager was sitting and he was taking two seats, and an older man was upset because look how this young children have no manners. And he was talking. So he started talking to him, the older man, and suddenly the young child said, do you know that I just found out that my grandmother died? And I wasn't paying attention. Yes, maybe I should have taken only one seat, but I was not paying attention. I was just trying to find out what was going on. So please tell me if I'm taking too much, because I don't want to take too long. Yes. So anyway, so it helped because I started just trying to focus. And out of the blue, one person got up and said, I apologize for him or whatever. And then I felt that it gave me the strength to just say, I apologize too. And the young man left, and then everything quieted down.
Okay.
I will just say that it helps me because I can think of the that, and I can stop waste too. So I can use it. I will not keep more of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody more wants to share? You please come. Which two powers and how they help you and what you will do to make it happen?
For me, throughout my Brahmin lives, there are two powers that helped me immensely. The first was power to withdraw, and the second was the power to discern or to discriminate. The power to withdraw helped me to pause, to reflect, to take time to make the right decision and to slow down. And the power to discern or to discriminate helped me to see what is essential and necessary and what is wasteful and unnecessary. And it helped me to make right decision. What will be our life like if we always made the right decision? And the power to discriminate helped me in personal transformation because I was able to discern my personal weaknesses, and power to withdraw helped me to take the time in stillness and silence to do the inner work and transform these weaknesses. How I'm going to use the two powers to discern and to withdraw in the future. I like to really use this power to discern the truth, because Baba is always reminding us, if we are honest and we live the truth, that will help us achieve our ultimate stage. And it really helps. The power to discriminate and discern and to withdraw is to help me cooperate with others, because I will be able to see their qualities and what they can contribute to the task. Om Shanti.
Thank you. So that was a nice sharing. And so we all see that these powers really can help us. And if we have a bit more detailed look at them, time to time we look in these powers, we just read them, what they are doing and how they can help us, we can use it like a toolkit. I like very much the power of judgment, so I know what's wrong and right, especially for my own action. And I like also the power to tolerate. I'm at the headquarter of the Brahma Kumaris, and the tolerance power is just very helpful to live here. Because at the headquarter, everything happens. So, tolerate, judgment, withdraw, accommodate, discriminate, power to face, to cooperate, and so on. So these are the powers which we're getting in meditation. And you can actually play with these powers in your meditation, and you can use them. You can make it like a toolkit, and you bring up that thought, the power of discrimination, the power of judgment, the power to withdraw, the power to tolerate. And the moment you think about it, you start making it happen, because that's the power of your thoughts. So, now we have done this exercise. Now we come to the second part of the talk. I think I have to speed up a little bit. What has science to say about yoga? You know, it's a quite interesting topic. It is very, 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 very old. And we must understand that science is actually denying and rejecting yoga per se. About 200 years ago, we had what is called the scientific revolution. And we had a Darwinistic view of humans. And the Darwinistic view says, man is in its nature egoistic. He wants richness, and he's competing all the time with others. And he only wants to pursue his goals and survive in the evolution. So, since 150 years, since Darwin, since the scientific revolution, we think we have our goals, we have to fight evolution, we have to fight to survive, we should become rich, and we should be all the time competing all others. And we are all in competition mode. It is also called the rat race. Get more, act more, work more, earn more, and then you need to relax. And then you earn more, get more, and then you have to relax. And this is a problem in science also, that this is at the foundation of the scientific view of humans. And the big question is, in science also, does the soul exist independent of matter? Is matter a quality of the mind? Or is the mind a product of matter? How does matter influence the mind? Is there a need to differentiate mind and matter if both are the same? So these are the main questions. And 150 years ago, when science came up, basically along with the French Revolution, there was Darwin, there was Isaac Newton, and many others, the worldview became a worldview of mechanism. It's called the mechanistic worldview. We see the world as a huge machine. And we humans are inside, and we have to fight to survive this machine and get the best in this life out of the machine. This was the worldview which came into practice 200 years ago it started. And all the belief system, the power of prayer, power of God, existence of God, the soul, the mind, it all got rejected. And there's a very interesting statement from Max Planck. It's in German, but I translate to you. Max Planck is one of the fathers of quantum physics. And he says, there is no matter as such. All matter is created and exists only because there is a power which keeps them together. And in the whole cosmos, there is neither a intelligent power nor an immortal power. So this power which keeps everything together, we have to assume that it is the intelligent and the conscious mind. This mind is at the foundation of matter. This is what Max Planck says, one of the fathers of modern physics and also of quantum physics. So What does it mean? What has science found out? So in the beginning, science rejected the mind and the divine and the power of the mind and everything which they cannot prove and they cannot make an experiment upon and they cannot repeat. And as the soul they cannot see, they cannot prove it, they say it doesn't exist. Interestingly, in the last 20 years, there is a change in that scientific worldview. It's very, very interesting. And science did a lot of research how the brain functions. Neuroscience. And they did a lot of research also about yoga and meditation. And many of the top-edge research institutes around the world, they are now experimenting on yogis, they're experimenting on mindfulness and on meditation. And they want to find out how is the brain functioning and who is taking the decision, who is the decision maker. And they distinguish in our brain between two things. The conscious activities, which are going on all the time. I'm consciously talking to you and you're consciously listening to me. But there's also a lot of subconscious activity going on, which are going on in the underground. You can say there are more going on the inner side of the brain, whilst the consciousness is active on the outer cortex, as they call. So when I think and I talk, my outer cortex is quite active, and if subconscious processes, there are more on the inner part of the brain. So what do you think, who is the director of our actions? Is it the consciousness and the free will, or is it the subconscious, the underground? Who is in charge of the decision? Who believes that the consciousness is the director of our behavior? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Slowly you're getting more. Right, you're getting more. And who believes that the subconsciousness is the director of our decisions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, 20. And all the others have no opinion. You are laughing, you know, but this is a very famous strategy. You know, when I was in school and the teacher was asking a question, I made myself very small. And when he asked to lift the hands, I never lifted my hands, you know, so I'm not on the wrong side. I can tell you the subconsciousness is in charge. You see? This is the consciousness. You see the top? And this is the subconscious. 97% of all your decisions are coming from the subconscious. 97% of all the decisions are coming from subconscious. I give you an idea. And you know, the subconscious is the recording of all the events of the past. And in your subconscious, your whole karma is recorded. All the events of the past are recorded in the subconscious. So, I give you an interesting example. You know, when I was a small boy of 3 or 4, my mother, let's say 5 or 6, my mother took me first time to the dentist. But I heard from other young fellows that the dentist is very bad. So I didn't want to go. I screamed and I don't want to go and all this. My mother said, if you go to the dentist, I will give you an ice cream. So I said, wow, ice cream, I didn't know much about ice cream, but I heard that ice cream is fantastic. So I said, okay. So went to the dentist, it was bad, he did something. And then I came to the ice cream parlor, and my mother said, what do you want? I had no idea, you know, because then I said, I want the brown one. So my mother gave me the brown ice cream, it was chocolate ice cream, and I started tasting and it tasted very sweet and very cold. Yummy, you know? Who likes chocolate ice cream? You like chocolate ice cream? Okay. So, yum, 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 yum. I took the chocolate ice cream. And then something very special happened. My mother was laughing at me. And she said, huh? Is it tasty? You like it? And I laughed back and I said, yes. And this is called mother-child bonding. You know? And I released in my brain dopamine and oxytocin. And I created what I call the program ice cream in my subconscious. the karma of ice cream in my subconscious. Yeah, you are laughing. It's very powerful. The bad news is in Frankfurt, I mean, I live most of the time here, but when I'm in Frankfurt in Germany, opposite to the center is a ice cream parlor. This is very, very bad, you know? Because when I go out of the center, I don't think anything, you know? I don't think anything. But then suddenly, you know, ice cream comes to my mind. And I automatically change. I don't have to do anything. Automatically I change on the other side of the street. I don't even have to look. I'm floating. And my hand goes automatically in my pocket and I look for a small change. Of course, I always have small change in my pocket, you know. It has to be ready for ice cream. So I look and I release dopamine and oxytocin in my system. I remember my smiling mother and I think, today I will take a chocolate ice cream, you know. And I already have it on my mouth, I get saliva, you know, and I'm on cloud 7. It's just no more Shiv Baba, no yoga, I just heard the Murli, nothing, I'm totally gone. You know, this part of my brain, this part has taken over. You know, and when you're around with a ship, you only see this one, 10%, which looks out, 90% is below. I'm completely and totally on my program ice cream. And I execute it, I have my ice cream, I feel so nice, I think on my mom, my body is full of oxytocin and dopamine and I'm just happy, you know. And that's how 97% of our actions and decisions are taken. I get angry, I get upset, I get lustful. It's all old memories of the past. And they're recorded in my subconscious. They occasionally come up. They are connected to my endocrine system, to oxytocin, dopamine, and all these very nice chemicals which I like, which make me happy, you know, which I want. So I'm following this program. And I'm not even questioning it, because it's just make me happy, and that's what I want. And that's why Baba says, changing and become a deity is not like going to your auntie's home, because you are dealing with all the memories of the past which you have recorded in your subconscious. And science found out, even if you read a book that chocolate is very bad, ice cream is very bad, the sugar is very bad, it's bad for your teeth, it costs so much money, you know, I will read it and I will say, yeah, yeah, very good book. But I will go next morning to ice cream parlor and will say, only one. Yeah? You know that. One is none, you know. Like. And I will tell myself I still have a little bit time to free myself from ice cream. And that's how we all have our little attachments. And we sustain those attachments. But the body, sometimes we're sick, we're sustaining the sickness, our attachments to other souls, our attachment to situations, our attachment to good cloth. Who likes good cloth? I like good cloth. Who likes good cloth? You like good cloth? Everybody likes good cloth. I like also good shoes. And I like motorcycles. Who likes motorcycles from the brothers? Anybody likes motorcycle? I have a 500cc Enfield. Very nice. Makes a lot of noise. You know why? Because when I was 18, I had a 500cc motorcycle. And it made me so happy, a lot of oxytocin, dopamine. So the first thing when I came to India, I bought a motorcycle. You know? So I follow my subconscious. You are all laughing and smiling, but that's karma. And that's the trick why it is so difficult to change. And the bad news is, even if you know it's not good, it won't stop you. So how to change? Yes? Yes, the decision is subconsciously based because subconscious is in control. This is what psychology, neuroscience has found out. That 95%, 98%, this is why we are following our sanskaras. You know, another issue is very simple. You see a person for the first time. So what science did is, they analyzed what you're doing and how you're looking. You know? And what you do is, you look 40 parameters of the face of the person. Everybody does it. The eyes, the forehead, the chin, many hairs, less hairs, the size of the face, the ears, the nose, the shape of the nose, everything. 40 parameters you take in a tenth of a second. With this picture, you go to the subconscious, and then the subconscious comes back, this guy is okay, because he looks similar to your daddy, and you had a very good relation to your daddy. Immediately you release dopamine, oxytocin, your body language relaxes, and you say, I trust this person. I will be very interested what he says, and you believe in him. I hope you have this impression of me, you know? The opposite would be, you had a bad experience with a person looking like this, and from your subconscious comes opposite, and then you release all this opposite kind of chemistry, which sort of makes you make the hands like this, turns you sideways, and you think, this guy looks a bit fishy, you know, I don't know, but don't believe him, you know? And you go 90% with these decisions from the past. Some scientists, they say we are following an old program and there's nothing like a free will. So how to change? Now I will explain how to change. It's the magic of yoga, scientific evidence of yoga. What does it say? If you meditate regular, signs over the last years, they took yogis into the CT scan and into the MRI, magnet resonance imaging, and CT scan, computer tomograph. And they observed yogis over a long period of time. They looked into the brain, but they also looked into the behavior. So they found out if you meditate, you change your behavior, you increase your social competence, you laugh, you start loving yourself and other people. It deepens relaxation, improves your health, but it increases the brain cells and activities. And now you have to know one thing. Up to the age of 25, your brain is growing. From the age of 25 onwards, your brain is shrinking. And we cannot reverse that effect. This is, the older you get, the more difficult it is to change old habits. It's called your neuronal flexibility. You become less and less flexible. And you follow the highways you have created in your brain. You follow those sanskars and actions you had created. But when you meditate regular and you have faith in the method and you love your teacher, then your brain starts growing again. And this is very sensational because you can reverse aging process. This is why the yogis often become old, or the yuk lang yang, because you will be able to reverse the aging process in your brain and you create new neuronal pathways. And that, then you are able to override the old program. It means you are getting free of your old habits and old sanskars, and step by step you transform your old karma, because you override the remembrance, the memory of the old action, which has influenced you all the time. And this is why Baba says, you remember me and you settle your old karma. And you settle the old karma, so I'm meditating since 33 years to free myself of this chocolate ice cream program. And I've made great progress. Well, okay, this little joke. So, yeah, I mean, mostly I've freed myself, yeah. Yes? Yes? Okay. Yeah. The question was that sometimes in meditation, she has the experience that the DNA is changing. Baba says, when you meditate, you change your star constellation. You free yourself of bad omens and create good omens. Yes, in meditation, you change the neuronal pathway in your brain, you override the old program, and you free yourself from the old karma. you will be never able to totally eliminate the memory of old action, but you will be able to put them in a cupboard where they not affect your decision-making process. You free yourself of the old program. It is still there, but it is not affecting you any longer. And this is the speciality of meditation. And here I have some web pages. Anybody who likes, he can take a photo of this. You can also Google neuroscience, yoga and meditation. There's a lot of peer-reviewed information about this. Very, very, very interesting. Okay? All right. So science is helping you a lot. And yoga is the tool to change the self. This is what we found out, and science agrees on that. And so that is very fantastic. And now we come to the next point, that your thought process upon yourself even creates the reality. There is Ellen Lange, she's a professor at Harvard, and she did a lot of research on the positive psychology, mindfulness, and so on. She did hundreds of experiments, and she did one experiment with old people, and she put two groups of old people, 50 of the age of 80, and from an old age home, and she put them in 50 in house A and 50 in house B. And in how she did a full mental and physical body checkup with both groups. 100 people at the age of 80. She made the full checkup of them, their diseases, their mental abilities, divided them in two equal groups, one in 50 in house A, one 50 house B. House A was very normal, like normal food, normal newspapers, normal television, everything, for 1 week. House B was equipped at the time of the 1960s. Newspaper from the 1960s. These people had to wear cloth from the 1960s. The television program was from the 1960s. The book were from the 1960s. And they were asked to talk on things, political events of the 1960s. After 1 week, she compared both groups. Again, she did an full body checkup and a full checkup of the mind. And the people living in house A, where there was no change, their physical situation was the same. You know, when you're 80, you have problems, diseases. Some people had Alzheimer, were a bit like this. But in house B, which was equipped furniture from the 60s, dress from the 60s, books, newspaper from the 60s, television program from the 60s, there was a dramatic change. The people in that house, they were behaving as were they 50 or 60 years old, not 80. You know, some people said, I want to leave this old age house, I want to make a world tour. And some people who had high blood sugar, had physical diseases, all their parameters have improved dramatically. And this experiment can be repeated. It means the power of our mind is so powerful, it creates even the situation or the disease or the health of our body. If I believe I'm 20 years old and I'm in a situation I think I'm 20 years old, I repeat it all the time. After some time, my body heals. It goes back to the time I was really 20 years old. This much is the power of my mind. And Ellen Langer, professor at Harvard, she found it out. She did another experiment with young students who were the age of 20. And she again made two groups. One group she gave a crossword puzzle with positive words. Dynamic, young, healthy, successful, sporty, and so on. And the other group she gave a crossword with negative words. Diarrhea, rheumatism, you know, headache, you know, death, you know, all these bad words. Then after 2 hours, she took both groups, you know, and she sent them in the next building on the third floor. But what she didn't tell them, she was putting a camera and she stopped the time, how much time they need. So these people who had the positive words in the crossword puzzle, they walked da-da-da-da-da and they took 3 stairs in one go. And the people who are having the negative words, diarrhea, death, and so on, disease, they walked like old people. And when they came to the steps, they took the hand railing and they took one step after the other like old guys. And this experiment can be repeated. Now imagine what you think the whole day on yourself. It has an incredible effect. By your thoughts, you create your reality. And Baba says, that's the power of mind. Can you imagine? You can Google it up, Ellen Langer, very famous professor at Harvard. She has many books. So, the inner world creates the outer world. Consciousness and awareness creates the visions and the ideas. This creates actions and reactions, and this creates the world. And we all know the world is in a bad shape right now. So, exercise two. I would like you to think for 2 minutes on your perfect form. What's your perfect angelic form? And what's your perfect form in golden age? And how does that feel? What's your perfect angelic form? What's your perfect form in golden age? Just think for 2 minutes. And how it makes you feel. Can we do that for 2 minutes? Think about your angelic form. What's your perfect form in golden age when you're a deity? And when you're with Baba in subtle region and you're an angel. And how does it feel? So just have yoga with your angelic form, your subtle body. And have yoga with your perfect form in golden age. How does it feel? How wonderful. We're at traffic control at the time of our exercise. So, looking into your perfect angelic form makes you feel very happy. Am I right? You become an angel, you're together with Baba. And our perfect form in golden age makes us feeling very complete. I'm complete. And this gives a feeling of happiness and joy. It's very refreshing. So this is also part of the yoga that we sometimes visualize our perfect form. And we just draw it close to us. We make it us. The perfect image of us. And we just bring it to us. And we visualize it, you know. We let it sink onto us and become one with that image of perfection. So, now I come to another little chapter. It's called The Weird World of Quantum Physics. Because this is very, very important. Because science has found out how powerful yoga actually really is. And we have the body and soul problem. And the body and mind problem is at the heart of philosophy since many, many, many ages. It's a very old problem. How's the mind relates to what's matter? And the mind-matter relation dates back to ancient times, since the Greek philosophers, but even before the Indian philosophers, 2,500 years, they started discussing this problem of mind and matter. And as I said, quantum physics has rejected, modern science has rejected the idea of soul or subtleness or any influence of the soul or the mind into the physical reality. But in the 1920s and the 1930s, science came across some experiments which did not work out as per the formulas existing at that time. So they understood there is something more. Something is influencing the physical reality. And they gave different names to it. They call it dark matter or whatever, whatever. And then they did experiments, and one of the most famous experiments is called the double slit experiment. You can Google it up also. It's a very famous science experiment. Science wanted to find out what's the nature of light. Is light behaving like a particle? Or is light behaving like a wave? You know, it's very important. So they made an experiment, and they had experiment one, where they had a light source and a wall, the two openings, and if light behaves like a particle, the light goes through and you have a reflection here and a reflection there on the screen. Huh? If light behaves like a wave, you have a little wave coming through here, a little wave coming through here, and you get this kind of reflection on the screen. So they thought it's very easy to find out what's the nature of light, either wave or particle. But then they got different results. Sometimes light behaved like a particle, sometimes it behaved like a wave. They changed the laboratory, they changed the light source, but still, sometimes this result and sometimes that result. And finally they found out what is influencing the outcome of this result. Who knows it? It's very famous. Who knows what's influencing the outcome of the result? Yes, it is the observer. It is me. It's the person who conducts the experiment. If I look at the experiment, light behaves like a particle. If I look to you, light flips and becomes a wave. I look back and light behaves like a particle. I look there, I look away, it looks behaves like a wave. What does it mean? It means my inner world, my attention, and the outer world are interconnected. Light is an indicator, but water, atoms, the physical reality, all the time reacts to my observation. I observe something with love, it behaves like this. I observe something with hatred, it behaves like this. I give compassion to something, it behaves like that. I give rejection to something, it behaves like that. And there is a connection between the inner world and the outer world. And quantum physics says there is a field of information, they call it quantum information. And this quantum information creates the reality. And the mind accesses the quantum information and selects out of the many possibilities that what is actually happening. So through this theory, science says the mind influences the physical reality. And this is very interesting because after 200 years, after 150 years, science brings the mind back into the equation. And in the beginning, Einstein was rejecting quantum physics. He says, that's not happening. But towards the end of his life, he acknowledged that quantum physics and these effects are real, and that the mind has an impact, a very thorough impact into the physical reality. And this is what Baba calls Mansa Seva. And this is why yoga and the thoughts are such a powerful tool. And the brain researcher John C. Eccles, who is a Nobel laureate, he says that the coupling of the quantum fields with our consciousness penetrates the whole physical universe. And this mind which penetrates the universe is for him God. So he says the mind and the physical universe, they are coupled amongst each other and they keep everything together. Very interesting. So our thoughts and our vision, they actually create the reality. It's very interesting. Some scientists, they say, the world exists because we observe it. And because our consciousness has fallen, the world has fallen. It's not the opposite way, that the world has degraded and then we have degraded. We have degraded first and we have pulled down the physical reality. It's quite interesting. So if we change our consciousness and elevate our and purify ourselves, we start purifying also the physical reality. And it's the powerful tool to create a new world. So there is Werner Heisenberg. Werner Heisenberg, also a very famous researcher in those days in Germany, in Berlin. He is also a co-founder of quantum physics. He says, the first zip from any cup of the science makes you an atheist. The first sip from a cup of science makes you an atheist. But when you have drunk the cup empty, on the bottom of the cup, God is waiting on you. What does it mean? The more deep you go into science, at the end, you find God. And it's quite interesting. This is by Werner Heisenberg, one of the co-founders of quantum physics. Very, very interesting statement. So, now I want to share some projects we are doing in Brahma Kumaris. One is sustainable yogic agriculture. Who has heard about it? Yogic agriculture. Very good. We give drishti to the seeds, and there are some web pages where you can find more information on the yogic agriculture. What we do is, okay, you take a photo. Okay. Right, got it. So, what we do is, we take the seeds, we give drishti, you're a very good seed, I love you, you're very good, in the morning and in the evening, and we plant the seed after 10 days into the ground. And we give drishti also to the field, and says, you're a very good field, you're a very good seed, everything will be well. We give good thoughts to the seeds. And these are now the results. Here you can see seeds without yoga, and here you can see seeds with yoga. And here you can see wheat without yoga and with yoga. We worked with 1,000 farmers in India, and we worked with the university. And the result is that you have 25% more yield if you meditate with your seeds. And this was confirmed by university. It's called yogic farming. And you know, we have Baba's farm in Shantivan, and there we practice yogic farming. And many centers around the world, they practice yogic farming. And the world now is in a very dramatic situation. Baba gives us the knowledge of cycle. It's time to awaken. It's time to realize. It's time to know yourself. And it's time to move from the Iron Age to the Golden Age. And at the moment, the world is in a very difficult situation. You know, the world is actually dying. You know, the world dies. And we can see that in our front, that the world is dying. And the main reason is our activity on the planet. We are polluting the environment day and night. And we do it since long, long time. And you might know that Brahma Kumaris has an environmental initiative, and I'm participating since 10 years at all the climate conferences. Sister Jenti is our head. And this is the latest information from climate change. These are the trigger points in climate. You see, the monsoon in India is changing. In West Africa is changing. The tropical rainforest is dying. The coral reefs are dying. The Arctic sea ice is melting. And the permafrost in Siberia is thawing. And the science have told us this time at the climate conference, it was in October in Bonn, if we not change immediately, we will face the same destiny as the dinosaurs. We will vanish from this planet. And it will be a very tough process. And it's accelerating already in front of our eyes. This time here in Mount Abu, we had horrible rain. In 4 days, 100 inches of rain, Shantivan got flooded. I was in South India, no coconuts, false rain, no rain. And wherever you look, Cape Town, no rain, Tehran, no rain, California, drought. Who of you has experienced climate change already? Change of weather? Who has experienced this? Hands up. You all must experience climate change. Everywhere the weather is changing. And the bad news or good news is, it's accelerating now. It's accelerating. So this is the trigger points in climate. Now, one of the reasons for that, we all became too greedy. We all want more. And Mahatma Gandhi said there's sufficient in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. So we have an environmental crisis, we have a financial crisis, and we have a crisis of war. Last week, the doomsday clock has been adjusted. Every year they adjust it, the American scientists, and it has been adjusted 2 minutes before doomsday. 1991, When the Berlin Wall came down, it was 17 minutes before doomsday. Now we are at 2 minutes before doomsday. And they say, never in human history the situation was so dangerous as on today. Donald Trump, North Korea, India, Pakistan, China, Russia, everywhere you look, tension. Tension in the world is dying in front of our eyes. Because of this, Brahma Kumaris has done an environmental initiative, and we promote at the UN conferences a simple lifestyle, open the heart, respect life, all the positive things, and we inspire people to become a peacemaker, a strategist, and a visionary. There's also a webpage where you can download a lot of information, and we try to bring yoga into the whole process at the UN. And this is our green team in Germany. This picture is 3 months old, and in the middle you can see Sister Genti and Sonia and Valerian. This is our green team, and we are very happy despite the world is dying in front of our eyes. And we have a lot of activities and stands and talks. And very interestingly, the German government promoted India One power plant and put 10,000 posters all over Germany. So this time when I came to the conference, railway stations, newspapers, on the airport, everywhere was the poster of India One. And this is the German Minister of Environment. She's promoting India One. You can read it all up at our webpage. And we promote also green lifestyle. Rethink, reuse, reduce, and recycle. Rethink before you buy, reuse whatever you can reuse, reduce your consumption, and recycle. Save energy, save water, and reduce waste. And all the centers, you can do something in this practically. Yeah, and very practically, Brahma Kumaris also started with solar power. This is our solar cooker in Shantivan. We're cooking food for 35,000 meals a day. We have a solar cooker here in Gyan Sarovar on the rooftop. And every day we produce steam by the sun and send it down to Shantivan. We also have here photovoltaic power, means electrical, solar electrical. And the power for this notebook and the power for this microphone comes from the sun. It's solar power. And this is our India One in Shantivan campus. It's our solar thermal power station. And since 1 week, we're supplying in daytime all the electricity to Shantivan campus. Who has seen the project? Okay. You please make a trip when you're in Shantivan. It's 1 kilometer from Shantivan. You can see it. And you can see Baba's magic. So we're doing a lot of activities. And trying practically to give example. So what we have to do is think positive on ourselves, think positive on others, and think positive on the world. Again, for Brahmins, this is not always easy, because karma comes in. And Dadi Janki one time told me there are 3 signs of karma. I never forget that. She told me 25 years ago. She said the first sign of karma, you want to do something, and you're not able to do it. You know, you want to become famous and rich, it doesn't happen. Karma blocks you. Your thought is not becoming reality. The second sign is, suddenly something happens to you. You have an accident, you get suddenly sick, you slip, break your leg, and you're in the hospital. And the third sign of karma is you are disturbed and you suffer in relation with friends and relatives. She said these are the 3 signs. You want to achieve something, it's not happening. Suddenly you have an accident, something bad happens to you. And thirdly, you suffer in relation with relatives and friends. Who has any of these signs upon himself? Hands up, please, everybody. Some of you have settled all the karma? Okay, me too, a lot of karma. Anybody has settled the karma? Anybody has settled the karma yet? No hand is going up, yeah. Yeah, it's tough. So, think positive upon yourself. I'm fit. I'm dynamic. I'm powerful. I'm pure. I'm tolerant. All these good ideas, you think about it. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Once you master that, think positive on others. You become blessing. You bless others. You're very good. You're the best. You're much better than me. You're happy. You're an angel. You fly high. And then we start blessing the world. So, and it's not only the world. It's also the whole physical universe. See, this is the Earth, Venus, Mars, Mercury, Pluto. And see, this is Jupiter, Saturn. And here's the Earth. Earth is very small. You know? And then, see, this is the Sun. And this is Earth. You know? See, and this is now the universe. And you see this spot? This is the Earth. This is the Earth. So our Earth is a tiny speck in the physical universe. But our thoughts reach out to the whole physical universe. Baba says the film of the cycle will start again. So we'll rejuvenate. We create the whole physical universe. And you have to think which aspect of the Trinity you like most. Are you a sustainer? Are you a creator? Or you are a destroyer? The creator is Brahma. The sustainer is? Who's the sustainer? Vishnu. And the destroyer is Shankar. Think about what you like most. And now is the time to let go the sustenance of the old world. To let go the sustenance of the body and the old karma. Let it go. And become a destroyer of the old. With love. Let go and destroy. And then you become a creator. And through your mind, you visualize paradise. So, how we can strengthen the transformation and create paradise? We have to visualize paradise. Harmony, beauty, peace, perfection, luxury, purity, bliss, divine, prosperity, contentment, righteous, highest and holy place, close to God, and timeless. I like so much that last point, timeless. Because I'm looking all the time to this clock, you know. And, you know, the bad news is I have 7 minutes, you know. So, in Golden Age, we're timeless, free. No watches. Isn't that nice? Huh? No more dictatorship of time. So, oh, peacefulness. Now some nice photos. Love. Happiness. Humility. Respect. Cooperation. Tolerance. Honesty. Responsibility, unity, simplicity, freedom. This is paradise. So meditation and a change of thoughts are the key to transform the world. And as we have seen from science, it's happening. Quantum physics says the inner world, what I think, what I feel, my emotions, they're going out. And psychology has found out if I meditate, I settle my old karma and I settle my old program. Isn't that nice? So Baba gave us all the keys. And the good news is meditation doesn't cost anything and gives no pain. That's very good. I like that very much, that slogan. It doesn't cost anything, gives no pain, and afterwards you feel good. Isn't that nice? Free of cost. So, towards paradise, change of conscious, peace, unity values, and the technology is already there. We have it. So, I thank you very much. I have given a bit of a masala to you. Masala means a mixture of different things. I was asked to speak on yoga, but I'm coming a bit from science and from renewable energies and climate change and all that, and you might have seen it. But I hope I gave you here and there some inspiration, what yoga means, how it is in the traditional Indian context, how it is in the context of Brahma Kumaris, how yoga is changing your program, and science confirms that. With yoga and the union with God, you settle your own account. And with yoga, you're creating new flexibility in your brain and you override the old sanskaras. And then, in the last part, I showed you how powerful is the effect of a pure mind on the physical reality. The pure mind is purifying the world. And the pure mind is creating a new paradise. And that's what Baba says, it's time now. Conferences and talks will become less and less important. You know, people cannot listen any longer. People cannot read any longer. They are overloaded with information. And Baba says, more and more important is now the service of your mind. Mansa Seva, Baba calls it. It means love and compassion. But therefore we have to first love ourselves, love others, and love the world. There are the web pages where you can find more information. Brahma Kumaris, this is India One, the solar. This is the environment webpage. And this is the environment webpage, Echo. And there you will find a lot of information. You can also join the green team and then you get regular newsletters and information. And our webpage, we have a lot of information, what you can do for the center and this and that. And I hope you got also inspired by the eight powers. And what I would like to do with you, the remaining 5 minutes we have, that we have a joint meditation. It's all right? We're a little bit short, otherwise there would be time for questions, but I was thinking when I made this show, my God, I will only take half an hour to go through all these slides, then what I'm going to do the rest of the time? You know, now, as usual, I got late. So, I hope you got some inspiration about science, spirituality, what happens, and that becoming a Raja Yoga makes us actually superheroes. It makes us very advanced heroes who are helping in God's task in transformation of this old world to a new world. So we have some 3 minutes meditation. Can we have some red light and some subtle music, please? So, we become a lighthouse and a mighthouse. So we relax ourselves. And we relax the body. We concentrate in the forehead. And we start breathing deeply. I relax my shoulders, my stomach, and my legs. I concentrate in the middle of the forehead. That's where am I? I am the point of light. And I have a body of light, my aura. I, the consciousness, I'm sitting now in my forehead. My body is very relaxed. I forget about the problems of the body. And what happened in the past and what's going to happen in future. I am in the now. I am present. I am pure energy. And I put out my wings and I fly to Shiv Baba. I establish yoga connection with the Supreme Light. I can feel how the energy comes to me. It's an energy of peace, of love, and its power, and it's filling my subtle body with light, and it takes out the tension. My old karma is melting away. My old karma is fading away. I focus my attention towards Golden Age. The world of perfection. Where I am a pure deity. I am perfect and I am pure. I'm full of happiness and joy. I do whatever I want to do. I am in harmony with me, with my companions, and with the earth. I am perfect. I am peace. I now focus my attention towards this world, towards this universe with all the stars and galaxies. I know that my vision will make a profound difference. I send my love and compassion to my friends. Love and compassion to my service companions. To all the BK family. I send my love and compassion to all the other souls on the planet who are searching, who are restless, and my drishti calms them down and shows them the path. I give drishti to the animal kingdom. My love and compassion is with all the animals which are suffering. And finally, I give my love and compassion to the physical reality, to the world around me. And I tell the world, I tell matter, it is time to become perfect again. Because it is the time of transformation. I am perfect. I am peace. I'm slowly coming back into this body, and I have this feeling of power, of purity, and of peace, which I take now with me and which will help me throughout the whole day. Om Shanti. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.